You are listening to the Women's Streaming Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, mark your calendars. Coming up on Saturday, August 28, 2010, it is the third annual Lady Legends Charity Classic basketball game, and we have got it all, guys. You have got to be there. We're going to be at Christ the King High School in Queens, New York. We already have our Lady Legends for 2010. We've got former WNBA stars Kim Hampton, Teresa Weatherspoon, Adrian Goodson, Ruthie Bolton, Corey Halede, Andrea Stinson, Tammy Jackson, Linda Burgess, Chantel Trimeter, and we're adding every single day. So do this. Get over to LadyLegendsCharityClassic.com. You can get all the event details. We've got some great packages over there. So get over there, LadyLegendsCharityClassic.com. Get your tickets. Tickets are going fast. We just put the site up. Tickets are going fast. Get on over there, LadyLegendsCharityClassic.com, and we look forward to seeing you in the house on Saturday, August 28th, Christ the King High School, Lady Legends Charity Classic, third annual. Opinions expressed on the Women's Streaming Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers. The shows hosted on the Women's Streaming Talk Radio Network may promote a lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. These shows are for entertainment purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, and/or claim any cure of disease or personal condition.
Everybody, and welcome to another Wednesday edition of Dishing and Switching, the World of Women's Hoops. I'm David Siegel, your host, and each and every week we get together and we talk about some of the goings-ons in the WNBA, college ranks, high school ranks, international ranks. If they're playing ball, we talk about it. I've got a great guest for us this week. It's my pleasure to bring Q McCall back on to the air. Q and I talked a couple weeks ago, but we were cut short about the draft, so I thought it would be a good time to bring Q back and talk a little bit about training camp and a couple other things. So, Q, how are you?
Pretty good, man. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Had a nice vacation week, and now I'm back ready to look at what's going on and talk about training camps. And let's kick things off with a little bit of an announcement that I'm really excited about. And that is that I am joining Swish Appeal and SB Nation, and you will soon be able to read my thoughts in addition to hearing my thoughts, not just on WSTR, as you are doing now, but soon you'll also be able to see And here's some snippets of the show on SB Nation. And I'd like to thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to having you. I think it adds a lot to our site. It gives us a little bit more of an East Coast flavor, which is good. And, you know, the radio show is great, you know, so we're looking forward to, you know, making this, making Swish Appeal one of the top resources on the web for women's basketball, hopefully.
And we're hoping to continue in the same vein that you're getting used to now, talking to different players, coaches, general managers from all different ranks and all different areas, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to grow our network and expand into all kinds of different other areas as well. So I thank Swish Appeal, and I'm looking forward to getting started on that as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about camps. Now, Gil, you had the benefit of going to see Seattle this past week. What are you seeing out in Brian Aglerville these days?
Well, you know, right now we haven't seen Sue Bird, Lauren Jackson, Tanisha Wright swing cash yet. So it's what we're seeing, though, is it's a pretty competitive training camp. They have, you know, five people under contract right now. And so it's to fill those six spots with about 19 players. And I think, you know, he's looking big, but he's also looking to fill out that bench and get some scoring. I think they have a few, you know, the person in camp on the first day who was most impressive was Devin A. Hampton. She was great. Allison Lacey, the first-round draft pick at Iowa State, was, you know, pretty effective at running the point. And, you know, and to the point of where, you know, Laurie Moore's position, he wouldn't, you know, give a solid guarantee that Laurie Moore will make the team because of Allison Lacey's performance. So, you know, I think it'll be a fun camp overall. And, you know, Newton retired today, Chelsea Newton. Which probably leaves another spot, you know, open. You know, they were definitely looking at this one they wanted for a while. So with Newton retiring, that's definitely freeing up a spot for someone else to compete.
How's Hampton physically these days? I mean, she was always impressive as a college player, except for those knees, just never seemed to be able to keep her on the court.
And, you know, actually, I talked to her about that yesterday. She, well, number one, she lost 25 pounds since leaving Cal. So she, I mean, she looks a lot trimmer now, and you know, and she always kind of had the footwork, and so you combine the fact that she's, you know, a little bit trimmer now with the footwork, you know, she was going to work in the post. She's got a great touch on her shot inside. You know, she has a variety of moves. She's a relatively good ball handler and passer, at least against the male practice team in the competition that's there right now. So. Yeah, it'll be interesting once they get their full complement of players to see how she fits in. And I think she has a really good shot at making it personally.
Yeah, that's a team that always has just never had the depth to really just cover for the eventual injuries that happen with year-round playing for players like Bird and Jackson. But, you know, signing Nicole Willingham, drafting Lacey, bringing in some of these other players, you know, be it a Laurie Moore or Lacey, to give Bird a chance. I mean, Seattle is looking like a team that could really, really be a strong contender this year.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think you look at, I mean, the key has always been if LJ is healthy, right? So, I mean, if she's healthy, they're going to be a pretty well-rounded team. They're going to be, you know, the big problem last year was scoring off the bench. They were next to last in the league, just ahead of Indiana. I mean, so if you add some scoring to the bench, any kind of scoring, and you add a point guard who can run the offense in Bird's absence. I mean, I think they have a real shot with a lot of the changes made in the West this year. And as I'm sure we're going to talk about, you know, the injury to the Lynx, at least in the regular season, you know, they're going to have a real shot at the conference title possibly.
Well, let's segue right into that discussion. Minnesota has come in with such high hopes, with Lindsey Whalen being added to the mix, of course, and then the top draft pick of Monica Wright going at number two, and, you know, all of the moves that they made in the offseason, and now all of a sudden, right at the start of camp, Augustus, I saw, looked a little bit hobbled, but was starting to move a little bit better when I saw her at USA Basketball, suddenly has this setback with needing some surgery, and Wiggins also ends up with needing surgery, which was rumored for weeks on a knee. I mean, that's, you know, that could right there blow a very competitive West for them, losing them for the start of the season.
Yeah, you know, this league, the season is so short in this league that, you know, you lose a person. I mean, this is basically a third of their season gone. They're two big scorers. I mean, so they're going to be hurting for scoring, and they're going to probably look, you know, Monica Wright's going to have to step in right away, and we'll see what she does. I mean, it's not – you look at their roster. I mean, they added Waylon. They also added, you know, Maigabach, who I think is a solid player, a solid veteran player, who can give you some defense and scoring on the wing to some extent in terms of efficiency. So, you know, they can hang in there. I don't think they'll miss the playoffs, but I think, you know, maybe some of the higher hopes of them, you know, running the table and turning the conference and making the finals an easy kind of sweep might be delayed for those that really thought that.
I agree 100%. Now, since we've talked about the top of the West, looking at the bottom of the West for a second, one of the more interesting things going on, as you pointed out to me today, was the Tulsa Shock is doing a very interesting thing with using Twitter to almost give a play-by-play commentary on their practice, their training camp practice today.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's quite amusing. I was actually just talking to someone about this today. I mean, I kind of like it. I know some people don't. Some people might find it annoying, but, you know, I'm the kind of guy who will go to the Portland Trailblazers website in the offseason and watch their pre-draft camp videos. I mean, so any information about basketball I can get is great. And I think just knowing what it's like to have that experience of practicing for a guy like Nolan Richardson with the 40 minutes to hell, and like what that actually looks like, and that they're not stopping at all, you know, depriving them of water might be extreme. But I think it's a fascinating thing. We'll have to see if it works. Yeah, you know, they still have some personnel holes to fill in. I'm looking at their roster now. They have Ivory Latta, and Latta has a legitimate chance to make that roster. I don't see why she wouldn't. They need some point guard help. So, the tweets actually make me want to be there, though, and that's the highest standard you can have for Twitter, and they're doing it. So,
I agree. I thought it was pretty cool when I was looking at it today. You know, quick pass up Pearson to Crosley, shot makes three, took less than 4 seconds. You know,
exactly.
I thought that was kind of neat. You know, I was really enjoying reading that. So I do think that it's using the social media to create interest in the team, and I think that's a good and I think that's a great thing that they're doing there. I have to give them some credit there.
Yeah, and you know, the issue I think that you want to look at as a sports team, though, is you want to see if this translates to people actually filling the seats during the season. And, you know, obviously we don't know what the Tulsa market's going to do. It's kind of a question mark. So this is a good start to me, though. The only problem is if it does backfire, let's say that we start off on a losing streak, you know, is all the hyping up of this style going to hurt them in the long run in terms of having to backtrack and figure out another way to promote the team? But we'll see. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with an 11-person roster, I have to wonder about how the 40 minutes of full all-out high pace will really translate for the better players and, you know, keeping. You're assuming that an 11-player roster is going to have 11 players that deserve to be on the court when you go in with that kind of style. I mean, even Phoenix realized early on in their first season under Paul Ball that they needed to slow it down a little bit sometimes.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of Paul Westhead, I mean, you look at what he tried to do with Oregon this year, University of Oregon, and it was the same deal. He just didn't have the talent. That team went, you know, 6 or 7 deep, and you can't run 40 minutes a game with 6 or 7. You got to have more. And then the problem for him, the dilemma was when he did try to go deeper than 6 or 7, the talent without on the floor couldn't perform and produce anything. So then you lose either way, really. Either tie out your players, you play players who aren't deserving of playing time. And I think Tulsa's probably in a similar situation right now unless they make some big moves that we're not privy to right now. So we'll see what happens there.
You know, one of the interesting things that I find in reading the transactions log these days and looking at the training camp signees and all is some of these players that keep making return appearances into camps. And I just have to wonder, you know, sometimes, you know, is it time to eventually give up on this dream who are we to say that? But, you know, I look and I see Sandor Irvin in signs with the Chicago Sky. Yeah, Katie Matera is back, is still living the dream, trying to get there. When do you stop with these, with some of these people, or when do you stop signing these people?
Well, you know, the issue in the WNBA and just talking to coaches and GMs is, because yes, you do have shorter rosters, but you also have that dynamic of players still off in Europe playing during training camp. So a lot of these players are just bodies for now. A lot of them are signed to training camp contracts and may or may not be on the team during the season. So it's tough. I mean, I look
at Connecticut's list. And Shea Brooks, May Katsopolis, Judy Lomax. At least, Shea Brooks got a chance, got a look last year, but at least they're young players that, you know, haven't been around that long, or rookies that are getting an opportunity. But when I see San Antonio bring Brittany Jackson back to camp,
yeah, you know, and we could talk about San Antonio for, well, I don't know what that roster is going to look like. I'm not entirely sure how they're going to look come opening day. And yes, I agree that some of the signings are odd there. So we'll see. And I agree with you. I mean, it would be nice to get younger talent in. I think at this point, though, they want, you know, you want vets who can come in and basically who know the ropes, who can execute your plays somewhat, you know, half well. And it's more of a benefit to the team than it is to the players. And I think sometimes the players know that coming in, that this is just your practice body. And that's what it is. So I agree with you. It's weird. Definitely.
There are a few interesting ones, though, that, you know, the Liberty has brought in a few people that I never understood why. I always thought that Brandi Hoskins and Tamara James were two guards that had a shot at making it in the league and never really panned out. Now they're back in camp with the Liberty again, and that's a team that is definitely weak on backcourt help. And same thing with Lane Selwyn, who has always been internationally a top point guard. I wonder if any of these players have a shot with a team like the Liberty.
Well, right, and it's the same thing when you look at Aldo Hampton's a younger player. The same thing with Seattle, kind of thing where there's a need there. And, you know, I was just looking at and talking to Agler on yesterday. You know, some of the players who are going to make the league this year are not necessarily the best players. They're just going to fill needs. And, yeah, point guard, even, you know, Ashley House might not make every team in this league, but she has a very good chance of making the Liberty. Because they need that point guard. And same with Selwyn and Hoskins. The advantage of Selwyn and Hoskins is they're at least a little bigger than a House. So, are they going to have the best point guard rotation? Maybe not. They have Cappy Pondexter, and it seems pretty clear that that's where they're going to go for ball handling help right now.
Well, and on the subject of the Liberty, then, you know, boy, we're really getting the segues down really well today. You get a Cappy, and all of a sudden people are interested, and they almost pulled off the Tamika Johnson deal, but they did land Taj McWilliams-Franklin.
Right.
And that is definitely a signing that could make some impact in the East.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at, if you were to look at this as a trade for them, as part of the, you know, the bigger Cappy trade, I mean, they move out Crave Elb and Shamika Kristen, and they bring back in Pondexter and McWilliams. I mean, that fills two pretty big needs. I mean, if you look at McWilliams versus Crave Elb, this was not a good offensive rebounding team, and Todd McWilliams is a much better offensive rebounder and also a much better interior scoring presence. And, yes, she's, you know, getting up there in years, but she adds a dynamic that Cravel didn't add last year. And so, I mean, I think they're – I don't know if people really see it this way because, you know, these are both – this maybe it seems it's a minor switch between McWilliams and Cravel, but, I mean, that's – in terms of style of play, they've done what they needed to do. It's really just going to come down to me at the end to what their point guard situation is and who's going to manage the offense, and if it's Cappy Pondexter, how well will she play being the lead ball handler for the team, as opposed to occasionally handling the ball when necessary.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you're still, if you're New York and you're still high on the potential of a Tiffany Jackson, then, you know, Taj is a great one to bring in to mentor her as well.
Yeah,
she's always
and Kia Vaughn as well is what they're looking at, too. So,
yeah, if nothing else, one thing that Taj has always been is someone who's been willing to share her experiences and knowledge. So
right.
things like that can't hurt. On a team like the Liberty,
right? And I think you know, if Kia Vaughn also pans out the way that the Liberty seems to expect she will, you're looking at a pretty strong team there in the East. I don't know. Again, it's hard to peg the East right now, but that's a lot of question marks there. And you know, you hope to get lucky and hope things come together for you.
Yeah, I mean, and the injury to Elena Beard in Washington certainly does reopen up the discussion as to who the playoff contenders in the East will be.
Yeah, I mean, that's devastating for them. That was their go-to scorer, their biggest, the biggest chunk of their scoring opportunities are created by Beard. So, you know, I know they're trying to, they still have high hopes for the season, and they want to be optimistic, but when you look at the East, it's actually kind of stacked this year, or at least if it's not stacked, it's talent is concentrated or distributed pretty well across. So taking off an all-star player is going to hurt any one of these teams, and I don't see how the Mystics would come back from that, even with Katie Smith being added. So, yeah, you wish them luck, and you never know how a team will respond to adversity. Sometimes you hope they'll come through, but it looks unlikely right now.
Yeah, and you know, some of the also continuing in the East. Personally, I other than the signing of Sandora Irvin, I really like what Chicago is doing right now. I mean, you know, they seem to really have an idea and a direction. You know, last year when they took Christy Tolliver, people were a little bit confused as to what they were doing. You know, no one understood why taking her instead of Montgomery.
Right.
But it's clear that, you know, Key is definitely looking for that, you know, that line of perimeter shoot where you know, Fowles operates inside and you've got to decide whether to double her and leave somebody open or not. And he's really assembled a pretty good cast of shooters now.
Yeah, and you know, shooters and now, you know, what I liked about Perkins last year is, you know, Perkins, and I think Canty's underrated at this as well. You know, those are two players who can get to the basket. You know, Canty is one of the better people getting to the free throw line of the league. And so you have the pieces, the makings of a pretty dynamic offense, actually. And they, you know, I don't think they have the star power of some other teams. I think Perkins is vastly underrated as a player in the East. But they're going to be tough to guard. You're going to have to make some decisions. And if Fowles can stay healthy, and Coach Key knows this, if Fowles can stay healthy, that team is going to be really dangerous.
Yeah, and you know, you don't get a person like Cynthia Fowles, like Sylvia Fowles, and not build your team around her. And I think that for a couple of years there, they kind of struggled with that because of the presence of Candace Dupre, who is certainly a great talent herself. But now at least, you know that is Sylvia's team, and the big girl is going to have the opportunity to do what she's supposed to do. Hopefully stay healthy.
Right, and he also points out, you know, with the combination of having Prevail and Paris as opposed to one Candace Dupree, they're a little bit deeper now. If Paris can come through and she comes back, you know, in some better conditioning this year in her second year, if she can be productive for them, that's going to be a good rotation for them. Maybe not as talented as having Dupree, but definitely deeper.
You know, one of the more interesting signings in the East, Indiana came so close last year. Yeah, and the one spot that they really seemed they lost anybody was the sixth-man position that Tamika Dixon had. They brought everybody else back. And then they've gone out and they drafted Janae Morris, who fits that need perfectly. Shea Murphy has had a big year overseas, and that's a potential. And now they've added Ashley Battle, who has always been an athletic, solid role player. They really have going after filling that slot aggressively, and I really think that, you know, they are showing, at least in the front office, you know, that they are really playing for keeps.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing, I mean, yes, in terms of front office moves, definitely, but then you also have to take account for, you know, you assume some improvement from Breann January as well. And if Breann January can come through and be just more consistent this year and play like she did in the playoffs, I mean, I think she'll be, or in the, at least in the finals, I mean, I think they'll be an outstanding team. You know, and in camp, yeah, the one player I'm really interested in, believe it or not, is Amarlee Lumanu out of Mississippi State. I just want to see what she's able to do at the WNBA level. I don't know if she'll necessarily make this team. But another player who can play some D, who's active, who's quick, and, you know, they definitely have a clear idea of what they want, maybe more so than some other teams. And that goes a long way in terms of building what you're doing, building a team that will compete.
Absolutely. And I do think that we'll be seeing them at standing at the end, assuming, you know, hopefully no injuries to that team.
Yeah.
Now, in scanning the waiver wire here and looking for other things, the Atlanta Dream today released Jennifer Lacy. Now, Jennifer Lacy has never been a spectacular player. In Phoenix, she was solid and a good contributor, and she's always been a nice presence on the bench. But the question that I have is, you know, Atlanta does have some young up-and-coming stars, with Sandra Little and Erica DeSouza, but you know, there is not any depth in the post position, and I was kind of surprised to see Lacy let go.
That's interesting that you mentioned it in terms of Lacy. I think she was probably not the most productive member of the team last year. You have to think that they must think pretty highly of their two new additions in the post in Lushenka, Yelena Lushenka, and Chanel Mukongo. And that's putting a lot of faith in those two right now, I think. Unless you're going to play some sort of small ball. I don't see it. They also have Allison Bales in camp. So, I agree with you. I don't see the depth, but, you know, clearly there's some two wild cards that they have a ton of faith in. And Mukongo needs work. She has, I've said all along, great footwork. But, you know, you look at a college center who's struggling to put the ball in around the basket and low percentages. It's just indicative of someone you're going to wait on. And so it'll be interesting to see how Metters operates the team, what that rotation looks like, and how they try to play during the season.
You know, I have to mention this. I was looking at the new edition of ESPN, the magazine, with Roger Federer as is he the greatest athlete on the cover. And one of the articles that they have is if we wrote like Larry King, and it's you know, supposedly Larry King writing about the very first sentence in this week's issue is this. Hey, is Marinelle Metters single? Was the very first.
I did not see that, but I'll just check ESPN the magazine out now. Are we giving a promo for them? Is this a paid promo?
No, you know, anything like that though is worth it. You know, you got that one was worth a free promo.
Yeah,
and you know, and again, that's the only place also where I remember reading. I can't remember the info now, but I do remember reading Candace Parker's cup size.
Yeah,
in that as well. So there is some information that is interesting in that.
Indeed.
Now, the last thing that's going on, now internationally, we've got the finals in Russia are going on. And my understanding is that the refereeing between Candace Parker's team and Diana Taurasi's team is worse than in the WNBA. But the one thing I wanted to mention quickly in talking internationally, and we talk about the players and that's where they make their money in touch, but there was a very serious situation today, apparently, that there was a bomb threat on a flight from Paris to Atlanta that Shardae Houston was on.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if people realize some of the just the day-to-day things that these players are going through, but if you've been able to see on Twitter Sharday Houston's tweets today, they're pretty intense. That there was a bomb scare and that, you know, I guess the plane landed, I believe, in Maine, and that she will be tomorrow on Good Morning America.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Again. So,
I mean, it's interesting you frame it in terms of, like, what the players go through. I mean, just as a human event to go through. I mean, that's I think, especially in this country, after 9/11, I think that's everyone's worst nightmare. I mean, I know people who will not fly for that very reason. And the details of what happened are very unclear to me at this time. It seems like she reported some things on Twitter that actually, like CNN, for example, didn't when I last looked at CNN. In terms of details of who the person was and what exactly transpired. But I'll look forward to Good Morning America figuring out more about that. It's good that everybody got out safe, that they were able to redirect the plane as necessary, and that the individual apparently outed themselves for some reason, which is odd, yet based on what the motivation was there.
Yeah.
You tell another passenger. So.
Yeah, but, you know, I just felt that had to be brought up, and just, you know, it brings to me, at least, when you think about it in terms of what we're trying to do here, and the entertainment value, and, you know, we talk about things like, you know, people having, you know, second, third, and fourth chances at contracts and all, but, you know, the fact that it can't be lost that there are still, these women are still forced to go overseas to try and make a living at a game that they love so much, and that they do it to try and continue their careers and improve their careers.
Yeah, and you know, I think the other thing in terms of appreciating the league, you know, what these athletes are doing compared to some other professional leagues is, if you were to think in terms of rational choice, it's not really a rational choice to play in the WNBA unless you just want to play in your home country. I mean, you're not making that much money, especially for some of the younger players, the marginal players. You're not making that much money. Be better off taking the summer off and going to play in Europe somewhere, technically. You make more money, you get to be more rested and be more productive in Europe. So the fact that they're even still coming here is something I think we should be appreciative of. And whether or not you like the WNBA, I think it's worthy of respect from anybody, any sports fan, to think about what they're doing compared to players who get, you know, long, lengthy off seasons. So, you know, it's one more reason to me to watch the league, and I'm not going to try to persuade anybody else of that reasoning, but it definitely adds some strength to reinforces my reasoning.
Well, I agree 100%, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we seem to be losing some of the players to the fact that they make more money with Deanna Nolan, Nakisha Sale, Janelle Burst now taking time off because the European season is better for her. Hopefully, you know, we will see the day where the WNBA is sufficient, you know, for these players to not have that situation. It was nice a couple weeks ago when I had my interview with Sophia Young to hear her say that she would give up the international season before she gave up the WNBA.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. It's a great endorsement of the league, and also the fact that this league is growing. I mean, I know the European leagues are very competitive, but I mean, this is a very competitive league. Michelle Vogel on ESPN wrote today, like, you know, probably has greater parity right now than any league we have in this country. I think the NFL has this parity as well, but you're not going to have a whole lot of blowouts this year in this league, even with Washington and Tulsa, you know, looking like they're going to struggle a little. That's great. I don't think you can want much more in a professional sport. So, it's great that players are willing to support it and help it grow, and you have to have that initial foundation of people willing to help anything grow, both fans, media, players, in order for it to move forward, and that's what the story of any professional sports league. Looking forward to the season for that reason, too. See how they build on last year's success.
100% in agreement with you, Q.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's call it a wrap for tonight.
All right.
Thank you again for spending some time talking a little bit of training camp with us. enjoy seeing Seattle out there, and let's see what storm that final roster ends up shaping up. And again, I thank you and everybody at the website for giving me the opportunity to be a part of it.
Right, yeah, we're looking forward to your show.
Joining SB Nation.
Yep.
Thank you very much. And to everybody that we remember, you can hear us each and every Wednesday, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. on www.wstrradio.com. We're sorry that we have a shortened version of the show for you this week, but even I get vacation every once in a while, and they let me have it this time. So, yeah, and we'll talk again next week. My guest has been Q McCall. Don't forget to look for him all the time. Q, your Twitter information and the website, please.
SwishAppeal.com is the website, and Twitter information is you can look for us at SwishAppeal is our Twitter ID. One word, SwishAppeal.
Perfect. We'll talk again soon. Thank you,
right.
And everybody have a great week.
Great talking to you. Bye.
You've been listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops. Heard every Wednesday on WSTRradio.com.
Need more great sports talk? Then make sure you stay right here on WSTRradio.com, because coming up after Swishin' and Dishin' is the number one rated women's sports talk show.